part of the sermon on Sunday morning, so many people's attitude as an approach to church today is, do I like it? And do I like what's happening? And do I get anything out of it? But the Bible says our approach ought to be, does God like it, referring to my worship, my praise? Amen. He's a God worthy to serve, isn't he? Amen. Brother Brian's just reminded me that we still have 80 cookbooks left. That'd be a real good Christmas present. And you could take care of that right away. Get your shopping done. They're $12 a piece. But if anyone would like to sell some at work or school, here's a sheet you can take, and you can take some of those books with you, and you can sell them. You can see Brother Brian or Sister... your wife, Sister Sarah, I know that. First come, first serve. That's right. That's right. And man, a lot of good reports from the cookbook. There's a wedding this Saturday. Around 1:30. Amen. Is that right? Okay. Hope House tomorrow night at 6:30. Praise God. We'll be soon closing this Wednesday evening series on overcoming. My desire is to be an overcomer. Read the book of Revelation. The promise always is to the overcomer. Hallelujah. We've got to change this attitude that we're barely going to make it to heaven by the skin of our teeth, just barely crawl in. Those that make it to heaven are going to march in victorious overcomers. Amen? And tonight we're going to talk about overcoming temptation. Now, on Sunday night, I made the announcement what we were going to be speaking on, the Lord willing. And I said, if you are one of those that never are tempted, you never experience temptation, then you can just stay home on Wednesday night. That was dangerous. I started to say, now we can tell who doesn't have a problem with temptation. But by your being here tonight, you are acknowledging with me that yes, we have a battle with temptation. I remember one time, I wasn't going to share this, but I will anyway for you young people. Duplessis. No, I believe I got the right one. They called him Mr. Pentecost. It's been so long since I thought about it. But he was already up in years, about 85 years old, and they were interviewing him as a minister on a television show, and they said, well, what about it, Reverend? You know, you're way up in years. I guess you're not tempted in a bad way, you know, for adultery or anything anymore. And they asked him the question, well, how old do you have to be before you're no longer tempted that way? Here he is, 85 years old, and he said, you're going to have to ask somebody a lot older than I am. It's the nature of the battle that we're in. It's the nature that we have. Temptation. We usually think of clear back to the garden, the first temptation, when Satan possessed that serpent, however that took place, and tempted Eve to find that fruit desirable and to disobey God. And ever since the first lady Eve to this day, those that live on this earth and breathe air, they fight the battle of temptation. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. I forgot to tell you to turn, so just if you would follow me here. And a lot of scriptures we could use, but we're going to look at these tonight. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee. Get out of there. We're going to focus for a few minutes on this verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. And that's a very well-known scripture, but it's very applicable. What is temptation? Let's talk about temptation. Have you ever had somebody try to talk you into doing something you didn't want to do? You ever had that happen? I mean, before church, I kind of experienced that. I got this new suit jacket on clearance for $20 and found this tie. And my wife caught me trying to sneak out of the house. And she said, "You're not going to wear that tonight." She said, "I'll be so embarrassed." And she tried her hardest to talk me out of wearing this. But I resisted. I overcame. Temptation. Temptation, a lot of definitions. Here's the one I want to use. It's the influencing of one's desire to do something he knows he shouldn't do. And that's what temptation is. We have these desires to do something that we know we shouldn't do, and there's this influencing on those desires. We usually depict it some like it's a little more involved and complex than this, but this is the way we've depicted it for years. You got the devil on one side, or a demon on one side, and an angel on the other, and you're caught in this struggle in between. And we call that temptation. Temptation. And to give in to temptation is both to sin. How many knows that tonight? When you give in to temptation, sin, and it's to suffer the consequences of a bad choice. That's why the enemy loves to see us fall to temptation. Now, we could talk about different kinds of temptation. They abound. They're all around us. And I'm just going to leave it largely tonight. I think we know what areas of temptation that we face. I mean, you can see this dog here. He's being tempted, but he's kind of, I don't know if you can see it clear enough there. He's looking to the side. He knows he's in trouble if he yields. And we know that. And so we fight this battle. Is it going to be worth it? I want to just tell you, it's not going to be worth it to yield to temptation. Let me give you some quick facts about temptation from the verses that we read. Notice this verse. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That tells me no one is invulnerable to temptation. I mentioned the older preacher a while ago, but none of us. You might have served God for 5 minutes. You might have served God for 50 years, but no one is invulnerable to temptation. Amen? It just isn't going to happen. You know, I think the person most vulnerable to temptation is the one that thinks he's not vulnerable to temptation. That's what the scripture said. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So much back, I was dealing with a man that had met an old high school flame on the internet and had begun to converse with this high school flame. And I was talking to him and I said, "You know, that's not really wise. You shouldn't be doing that." And here's what he said. He said, "Don't worry about me. I'm stronger than that. I would never commit adultery." And I said, "Now you have me worried. Now you've really got me worried. Because he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." No one from this youngest person here tonight to the oldest one is invulnerable to the temptation. It may be a different temptation, but it's a temptation to get us off track from living for God. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Here's another fact about temptation. Temptation is not unique. It's not infrequent. It's not unexpected. I want you to notice the word common. It's common. That means it's going to be for all of us. It's common. That means it's going to be a frequent thing. Common. That means you and I can expect it in our lives. But the scripture goes on. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." Here's another quick fact about temptation. God will allow no temptation beyond your ability. And I'm talking specifically about the ability God will give you. God will allow no temptation beyond your ability to overcome. I do believe Satan has to get permission to tempt us. How many believes that? What happened in the case of Job? Satan had to get permission from God, and God only allowed Job to experience what God knew he could overcome. If you're being tempted, you can know this, you can overcome. Amen. But with that temptation, God will also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. For every temptation, God has made an escape. I'm talking about serving God. I'm not talking about doing this on your own. I'm not talking about being carnal in and out and thinking you're going to overcome the snares and the traps of Satan. But I'm telling us, if we will serve God, if our heart is to please Him, every time we are tempted, we can know with an assurance in our heart that God has provided a way of escape. Nobody has to sin who's trying to serve God. God will make a way of escape. Let me give you a few more things about temptation, and then we're going to talk about how to overcome it. First of all, it is universal. You know, one of the realities that every one of us believers has to face is this temptation we're talking about. How many of you have ever considered how much easier it would be to serve the Lord if the devil would just leave you alone? I'm going to preach two sermons one day. Number one, poor God. He gets blamed for a lot of things. People say he said things he never said. Poor God. The other is poor devil. People blame the devil for a lot of things. It's just them. But the devil does bother us a lot. Now, I've never been so egotistical to think that I was important enough that the devil would assign himself to me out of everybody else. But I do understand when people talk about fighting the devil, I understand he's got a lot of imps and he's got a lot of help. Amen? Wouldn't it be easier if we didn't have this flesh that's a part of us that drives us to do things that are crazy? We know. Wouldn't it be easier to serve God if we didn't have the flesh? Wouldn't it be easier to serve God if we didn't live in a world that where everywhere we look, there are things that are attempting to draw us away from serving God? It'd be easier. But the point is, we do live trying to serve God where there is a devil, there is this flesh, and there is the world around us. If you're not being tempted, two things. Either you're dead and need to be buried, or you're not trying to serve God. Amen? It's universal. But every man, every person is tempted. Enough said right there. It's universal. Every person is tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted. You know, temptation is not sin. We're not going to deal in depth with that. We're going to get to how to overcome. But I do need to point out, being tempted isn't sinning. It's the yielding to temptation that's the sin. Martin Luther originally said, you can't keep, speaking of temptation, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head. What he actually said was, but you can keep them from building a nest under your hat. That's been changed through history. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building their nest there. You're going to be tempted, but you don't have to entertain it. You don't have to be hospitable to the temptation. I've heard people say, I can't believe it'll ever happen to me, or it won't ever happen to me. It can, because it's universal. Everyone is tempted. It's ubiquitous. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of the world. In other words, you can't get away from it. You could even say, I'm going to go out in the desert and find me a cave and live in there without electricity, and I'll escape temptation. No, you won't. You get to that desert cave, you're going to find temptation. It's unrelenting. Jesus, I told you, was tempted, but notice this little verse many read over. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, hallelujah. But then it added, for a season. That meant he's coming back. How many has found the devil never gives up? They don't mean we should give up. That means we should never give up. And it's unified. I mentioned a while ago that there's three sources of temptation. There is Satan. There is the world. There is the flesh. And they work on a unified front against us. Now, there are a lot of things that I could have used to typify the temptation of the world. This happens to be one of mine. Have you ever noticed how good pastries can look? I was thinking of that this week. Now, you may not be one of these, but how many would be pretty tempted by that? That's the world. I mean, it's there. I mean, you're just minding your own business. Right? Walking down the street, there it is. So the world entices. And then there's our flesh. That's the response from within us to the world. And then there is Satan. I know he doesn't have horns or a pitchfork, but we had to have some symbolism. There's Satan, and all of these three things, the world and the flesh and Satan, they work on a unified front to try to get us to fall. That's what we're up against. But we're not interested on how strong temptation is. We're interested on overcoming. And so tonight I want to give you some ABCs for overcoming temptation. And it's easy to put them in this form. You can put them in many forms, but these are truths from God's Word that if we'll follow these, we can overcome temptation in our life. Again, how many wants to be an overcomer? Now look, I'm not trying to be smart, but there have been people from the Good Service Sunday night to tonight that in that interim have fallen to temptation. Am I telling you the truth? You don't have to. I know temptation's strong, but you can overcome. He'll make a way of it. How many believes God is faithful? He's not going to ask us to serve Him and then make it impossible for us to do so. Number one, admit your weaknesses. Admit your weaknesses. Every good soldier knows. Every good general knows that if you're going to win a war, you need to be aware of your weaknesses. Where is the weakness in the line? And sometimes folks are honest. They'll admit their weakness. They'll say, I have a weakness for this. I'll just come out. I'll just be one. Hi, my name's Clifford. I have a weakness for donuts. But here's the thing. Careful. You need to admit your weakness to yourself. And you need to admit your weaknesses to God. But you might not want to admit them to everybody. There's one other you need to admit your weakness to, and that is someone you can trust in order to be accountable to. I remember one time a fellow was being extremely tempted in the area of adultery, and he called me up and he said, I know I can trust you, so I'm going to tell you what I'm going through. And when he got through telling me, he said, you know, it's gone. Why? Because he was accountable to someone. Admit your weakness. You know, there's some people that's got big problems, but they have never admitted it. They fall to the filth of the programming on television. They watch things they shouldn't watch. They've got a real weakness. They fall for it every time. They can't control that remote, but they've never admitted it. They've never said to themselves and to God and to someone they can be accountable to and said, I've got this weakness. I've got to overcome in this area. Admit your weakness. God already knows it. Amen. The Achilles heel. He had that one place that he was vulnerable. And just be, don't whisper it out loud. Don't write it down. But in your heart, just be honest right now. What's that area of weakness that the devil can be successful in attacking you in? Admit your weaknesses. And then believe you can overcome. You just can't take faith out of the equation. I'm not talking about bravado. I'm not talking about, you know, just whistling in the dark. I'm talking about based on the Word of God, there are some things we can believe. If you go around thinking you're going to fall to temptation, guess what? You're going to fall to temptation. If you go around saying this is too strong for me to overcome, guess what? You're not going to overcome it. But start believing. Say, yes, I know I have a weakness. Yes, I know the temptation is strong. But I believe I can overcome with the resources God's going to give me. I can overcome by the Word. I can speak the Word. I can quote the Word. I can live the Word. I can overcome by the power of the Spirit. Believe that you can overcome. You know, the devil would love for each of us to believe that that temptation is too strong to resist. And so we get in the frame of mind, I can't get the victory. I can't overcome. I'll never get it beat. I'll never have any type of relief from this. Tell the enemy and yourself that's a lie. Believe you can overcome. How many believes we need more faith? Believe. I mean, we get in this despair, this cloud. We've blown it. We've messed it up bad. And so we go around saying, I can't. I just can't win it. I can't whip this thing. I've just got to have this habit. There's no way I can overcome. That's the flesh talking. That's Satan talking. God would tell you, you can overcome. I will make a way of escape. I am. Believe you can overcome. And I'm not being redundant. I just feel like it needs stressed. And I have faith in this thing. We shall overcome. And then combat the thing. The Bible says resist the devil. You know, a lot of folks face a temptation. They just don't put up a fight. They say to temptation, no, go away. Go away. I mean, the signals they send, there's no fight. There's no resisting the temptation. I talked to a young man not too long back that was fighting a real temptation in his life. It had several failures. He was just so discouraged. And the thing I kept saying over and over is never stop fighting. Never stop fighting. Never start resisting. Of course, there's another part to resist the devil. How many knows what that is? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I heard someone say one time, I don't ever have a struggle with temptation. I just give in. No, there's no struggle to temptation if you give in. In fact, though he was very talented and creative, he was... Probably reprobate in his mind, but Oscar Wilde said, the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. That's the world's philosophy. Well, if I just, listen, I'm not preaching in a vacuum. This is happening in everyday life for people. A lot of people have come to the place that they think, well, this temptation is so strong, it's such a battle, the only way to get any type of relief is to yield to it, and then I'm through with the temptation. Yeah, you're through with temptation. Now you live with the consequences. But you don't have to yield. You can fight that thing. Combat the thing. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then ABCs of overcoming temptation. Depend on God's help. I got on this in believing, but you need to depend. You know, you'd be surprised of just this simple thing, what a difference it would make when you're being tempted. Maybe you're in front of a computer. Maybe you got the remote control. And by the way, it's not all in that area. I mean, we can be tempted to oversleep. How many would like that as a sermon? We can be tempted to overeat. We can be tempted to gossip. We can be tempted to shade the truth. Man, now I've gone to meddling, haven't I? I've meddled so far, I forgot where I was going with that. Praise God. Oh, you'd be surprised at how just simple it can be when you're facing that temptation. Something as simple as saying, oh, Lord, I mean, in sincerity. Amen. You may have to whisper it under your breath because people are around you. You may even have to think it in your mind. You may be on the phone. But just to say, Lord, please help me. I want your help. How many believe something as simple as that would give you help in temptation? I said fight it. Sister Dale and I met it, but we can't fight it on our own. We need to realize, in fact, the battle is the Lord's. And just to pray, oh Lord, I need your help, and depend on Him to make that way of escape to give you the ability to overcome. I've preached this for years. Exchange the bad for the good. Young person's been used to the ways of the world. Pray Sue wants to live for God. Been used to every Friday night running with that wicked crowd, doing things out in the world. Now that he's saved, he says, I'm not going to run with that crowd. I'm not going to live that way out in the world. So it comes Friday night. He's stuck at home, nothing to do, nobody to talk to, and the devil's right there. That was right to get rid of the bad. But replace the bad with the good. Amen? Find something to do on Friday night with God's people. It might be with music. Amen? You say, I'm not ever going to listen to that bad music again. That's the right choice. But don't leave that vacuum in your life. Find good music to listen to. Go on the Union Pentecostal Church website and click there on the file of the Choir by Gospel and listen to that. How many knew that was on there? Listen to good music. Listen to good music. Exchange the bad for the good. Now, I'm not going to get there yet. I can't get away from it. There. I meant to put this scripture on here, and I did. I'm going to use it later for another reason. But Paul said, flee youthful lust. How many knows Paul said that? But the next part of that verse is, follow righteousness. If you just try to flee youthful lust, get rid of the bad, you leave a vacuum for the enemy to work in your life. You must also follow righteousness. It's not enough just to say no to the bad. It's saying yes to the good things in your life. A story I heard years ago, there was a man that was an alcoholic. I mean, been an alcoholic all his adult life. He went down there to that old meeting, church meeting, revival, and he got gloriously saved. But he got up the next day, and it came time to go to church, and he began to crave that alcohol again. And the thing was that on the way to the church house, he had to walk by the tavern he was used to drinking in. And he was walking down the street, and the closer he got to that tavern, the stronger he felt the temptation. He felt himself pulled to that tavern. He was just thirsting for that alcohol. It was a tremendous battle. He stood in the middle of the street just fighting that demon of alcohol. He was so thankful to be saved, but such a strong force and such a strong habit in his life. And in the midst of the battle, he looked up and there was a little grocery store there. And suddenly he got inspiration. A light bulb came on. Stood ahead to the tavern. He ran to the grocery store as quickly as he could. Went back to the dairy department and got him a big old jug of buttermilk. Went back out on the street, took the lid off, turned it up, and glug, 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 drank the whole container of buttermilk, wiped his mouth, looked out and said, now, devil, try to get something down on top of that. He's so full of buttermilk, he didn't have any room for alcohol. Well, some of you, buttermilk's not good. So maybe I should have said chocolate milk. Okay. But listen, the story was buttermilk. But I'm telling you, the truth is well taken. If folks would just get full of God, the devil would have a hard time getting himself in on top of that. That's why church service is so important. I preach a lot to young people. I'm glad you sit up here. But you face a lot of temptations out there. But if you get full of God on a Sunday, the devil can't hardly get anything in on top of that. I'm trying to preach. It's not enough just to get rid of the bad. We must have the good. Exchange the bad for the good. And then fence yourself in from things that tempt. Fence yourself in. Put some things in your life, some boundaries, some perimeters, some guidelines that will help you from being tempted. I mean, every computer ought to have some type of filter set on it. I know you can get around a filter, but it's still a momentarily block there. That's the same argument some use about fences between our countries. You know, well, people can still get around them, but it's still some kind of impediment. It's still something there. Fence yourself in or hedge yourself in from things like that. Build some things in your life that are hedges and fences against the attack of the enemy. I don't know what yours may look like, but they're internet filters. And when you're tempted, all of a sudden, access denied. There is one for Christians. I don't have this. I have friends that have it. It's called Covenant Eyes. The way this works, there's someone with the password. You don't have the password. Not only does it set a filter, but if you attempt, if the person attempts to visit a website that's questionable, it sends an email to three or four people, or it could be two or three or even one, people that you're trying to be accountable to. I believe there ought to be fences in our life. There ought to be things that we say, we're not going to watch this kind of material. And as soon as it comes up, it's turned off. If we can see on the package, it's in there. We're not going to. Why? Because we have fences in our life. How many believe it's a good thing to have some fences in our life? It keeps the temptation out. I know temptation is everywhere, but there are some things we can do to fence ourselves in and protect ourselves. Don't go there. Don't watch it. Don't buy it. If you know that it tempts you, set up some things, perimeters in your life to keep it out. Years ago, a patient comes in and talks to the doctor, and he said, "Doctor, I broke my arm in two places." And the doctor said, "Well, then stay out of those places. Stay out of them." And you got to avoid some things, and you can set up some fences in your life to keep the temptation from you. Billy Graham, one of the things I admire about him, he's one of the ministers that has never fallen into sin, at least that we know of. And even recently, one of the preachers here in America, a church of 25,000, and they're yet to be proved, but there's accusations of impropriety and sin there. But one of the things about Billy Graham, he's never sinned. Why? He has some fences in his life. Here's one of them. He, in his travel, he would never enter an elevator alone with a woman. If there was just a woman in there, it was just him, he would never enter. When he would travel across the world, he'd always have someone, a male on the staff, go into the room before he went into the room. Never alone with the woman. What was he doing? He was setting fences in his life to keep temptation out. Young people, you're creative. You can think of some fences you can put in your life. Amen. You know, if the first, I mean the first text you get from someone that has inappropriate material in it, get them off your list. Block them. Right? The first on Facebook when it comes across and you can tell it's inappropriate pictures or words, unfriend them. Didn't that mean? No, that's setting fences in your life. Well, someone shout glory. Hallelujah. Did you know you can tempt the devil to tempt you? Some people tempt the devil. What about that? It's just an illustration. I mean, what are people thinking? Some people park their car in a shopping department store lot, unlocked and with the keys in the ignition. I mean, they're just leaving themselves open. And that's the way it is spiritually. So many people, they live in such a way, they're so uncareful in their life, they're just begging Satan to turn the big guns on them and take them down. So fence yourself in and then get away from the thing. Get away from the thing. Again, Paul says, flee youthful lust. There's a plaque in one man's office that says, starts out with the words of Christ, "Lead me not into temptation," but it concluded, "I can find it all by myself." How many knows folks like that? They don't stay out of the places where they're going to be tempted. Get away from the temptation. Let's talk about donuts again, all right? There was a man that realized his need to lose weight. He was way overweight, and at work that day, he told the folks he was starting to diet, and he said, "I'm going to stick with it." And he did. He did for about 6 or 8 weeks. I mean, he was losing weight. Things were going great. And they asked him, "What's your secret?" He said, "Well, a lot of things. I've changed my schedule and I've changed my diet. But one of the things I've done, used to when I came to work, I took the shortest route, but I had to drive by the donut shop. And so I'd just stop every day on the way to work. I've changed my route to work." Get away from it. He said, "I drive it's longer, it's further, it takes me a few more minutes, but I refuse to drive down that street. I've planned out a whole new way to work." Well, several weeks later, they were all standing around the water fountain before work and wondering why he wasn't there. He is late. He's talking about how good he did. And when he walked in, he had a dozen donuts in one arm and he had a cheesecake in the other. And they said, "What happened?" He said, "I forgot this morning. I just forgot. And for I knew, I was driving down the old route, down the road, and I saw the donut shop. And when I saw it coming up down the road, I said, 'Oh God, if it's your will for me to go on by, great. But if it's your will for me to stop, God, let there be an open parking place right in front of the donut shop.'" And he turned to his workers. He said, "And you know, when I drove by, there was an open parking place. The eighth time around the block, there it was." Get away from the thing. Jim Elliot, that great missionary, said, "Don't put yourself in a position to see how good your resistance is. When you feel temptation coming, get out of there." I had to go way back, almost 40 years, to remember this. My grandfather, he was a grown man in the army before there were cars, but he would tell me those stories back in the hills, and he had a way of laughing about it that would make you laugh. The story wasn't funny, but he talked about when he was a little boy, his job was to get up the mules and livestock and take them down the trail to the creek at the bottom of the hill and get them a drink for the night and put them back up in the fenced-in area. He said there was this one stubborn mule, and he could never get her to go right and do right. They were going down the trail one day, and there was this hornet's nest that hung over. And she'd go under that hornet's nest day after day after day. And one day that hornet's nest fell off and fell down. Those hornets stung her. And he said every day after that, she'd get even close to that tree. And she had to go off the trail and go through rough territory. But to the end of her life, she would never walk under that hornet's nest again. She'd make a big old circle around it. Now, I remember that from a little boy, but even then I got the lesson. There are some things worth avoiding, getting away from, staying away from. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to do it yourself. I don't know how you are sometimes. I'm sitting there in my chair, and Sandra gets up, and I says, "Take these chips from me before I eat the whole bag." Is anyone else like that? But most of the time, we're going to have to get away from it ourselves. No greater story of this. I remember a man named Joseph, day by day, unrelenting. Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him. One day she caught him alone and reached out and grabbed a hold of him. What did he do? How many knows what he done? He ran so quickly he left his cloak with her. One preacher years ago aptly put it, Joseph wasn't running from Potiphar's wife. Joseph was running from Joseph. If there was no temptation there, he wouldn't have been running. He was running because there was temptation. There's only one way to handle. You'll never out-talk temptation. You'll never out-negotiate temptation. You can only beat it by getting away from there. And then have regular times alone with God. I cannot stress this enough. If you want to overcome temptation, there's no substitute of having regular, daily times alone with God. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to predict a lot of folks aren't going to make it serving God. They're not going to make it to heaven because there's no attempt in their life to have regular times alone with God. You've got to have a regular. I know many of us live very busy and tiring lives. If it's only 5 minutes, find time alone every day to be with the Lord. Get in His Word and pray. The battle is won or lost before it ever takes place. You want to overcome temptation? Have regular times alone with God that keeps you prepared. It's like eating the right things in your diet to keep your immune system up. Amen. Prayer and Bible reading. Prayer makes me sensitive to the awfulness of sin. Prayer shows me where my desires are at. Prayer shows me me to what I'm beginning to yield to. Prayer unveils the trap I'm about to walk into. Prayer gives me the right perspective, and the Word of God shows me my vulnerability. The Word of God shows me my need of caution. The Word of God shows me how the devil works and what's right and wrong and what are the consequences to doing wrong. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto unto thy word. Amen. It'll keep you and give you victory over temptation. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Unless that which is in us is greater than that which is around us, then that which is around us will overcome us and destroy us. But we can overcome temptation by having regular times alone with God. It'll make a difference. Amen. And last of all, I just added this just a few minutes ago. Itemize the cost of giving in. The devil don't want you to think this way, but think of the consequences. And this has been 25 years ago. I kept it for years, but a man was being tempted to commit adultery. He was in the ministry. He sat down and he wrote all the consequences of adultery. And the list was so long, he broke down and wept crying. The devil has always attempted to keep us from seeing the consequences of our sin. And I know when you get in the heat of it, you may not think very clearly. But if you would itemize, what are going to be the consequences to giving in? The cost is always too great. God's ways are right. I could summarize everything tonight up with the words of Augustine. Love God and do as you please. If you really love God, amen, you won't want to give in to temptation. You'll fight it. You'll come against the enemy. Count the cost. It's better to shun the bait than to struggle with the snare. Hallelujah. How many wants to be an overcomer? Someone, and I'll quit with this music if you want to come. Someone just recently told me about a member of their family. This has just happened. A nephew that was a policeman, looked up to in the community, had a great, nice home. With the financial crisis, began to have some financial problems. And so the temptation came to make a quick buck, make a lot of money by slipping drugs into the jail. And so this nephew, policeman, he began to sneak drugs into the jail to get the money to pay the house mortgage and different things, and they caught him. I got to back up just briefly to tell you, he had also wasn't just being prosperous, he was a Christian. But in this time of problem, instead of turning to the Lord, he turned away from God. That's how he got caught in this trap and yielded to temptation, began to sell the drugs or smuggle the drugs into prison. And tonight, he's in prison himself, lost his job, lost his house. You say, I'm not involved in anything as drastic. You never know. Count the cost. Overcome temptation. It won't hurt just you. If you give in, it'll hurt your family, your friends, your community, your church. I believe we can overcome. You know how I know? Because he overcame. Didn't he overcome? Satan hit him with everything there you could be hit with. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he came to succor us who are tempted so we might overcome. Be an overcomer. Don't give in. I detest it. I don't think our young people are like this, Brother Brian. But did you know the mindset of young people today, I'm talking about young people who are supposed to be Christians, is it doesn't matter. It's too hard to fight. You just live like the world. I mean, if God's gracious, he'll forgive it. I mean, you don't fight. You don't resist. It's all about me. It's all about what I enjoy. It's all about what I find pleasurable. And everybody thinks that's a great philosophy until you start counting the cost, the consequences. And it's more than just material things like loss of money, ending up in jail, and loss of comfort. To give in to temptation destroys pieces and parts of our soul and our mind. It'll burn you out. It'll jade you, leave you an empty hull and shell with no capacity to know the presence of God and to enjoy life. I think it's just better to overcome. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We're not going to sing it, but I'm telling you it's true. Victory in Jesus. He sought me. He bought me. There's victory. You can overcome. I know I've been a little long, but I'm ending here. But I just want you to know, quit believing you have to give in to temptation. You can be an overcomer. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him that He has overcome, that we might overcome. Hallelujah. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of His our testimony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to be an overcomer tonight, would you come and fill this altar? I've not named a lot of temptations, but I'm just telling you, we all know what our temptation is. Just come and admit it tonight and say, God, I need help. I want to overcome. I'm tired of giving in. I want to be victorious. I believe He'll give you help. He'll give you power to overcome. Amen. Let's take this trip to the altar serious. We're all coming. We're all there. We're all in that place. But let's take it serious. Lord, I intend on overcoming that thing. I intend, oh God, and being an overcomer. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will not let Satan destroy my life. I've been down that road. I've seen what listening to the enemy and my flesh can do. And I say no to it. I'm going to be an overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. Don't give yourself to the enemy and the world to destroy you. Give yourself to God.